In my outside studio, I've got Marie right here. Hello, Marie.
Hi, Aaron. Morning, Whangaroa.
So how do you like the outside studio?
This is much better.
It's hard to believe it. This is actually the first time you've come to it because I've been doing this for a couple of months now.
Yeah.
It's actually the last week.
Well, it's
easier not to have to set up a second studio halfway through my show.
It's very nice.
I'm not the kind of person to get here early and set it up.
Well, you did a good job of placing all the trees. And it looks just fine. Well done.
So, folks, Marie is a local counsellor therapist, and we talk every second Wednesday, not in a professional capacity. We wouldn't do that on the air. Although sometimes I suspect I get it for free counselling. One of my DJs, Paul, says that he imagines me while we're having this interview on, you know, it's that cliche in the movies of the person lying on the couch.
Oh, a Sigmund Freud moment.
Yeah, he imagines me like on the couch talking to you.
Sigmund Freud was very much around free thinking, our dear Sigmund. But unfortunately, Sigmund Freud was addicted to heroin, so in his later years. They thought that was a miracle cure back then, interestingly enough, because they didn't know it was a drug as such.
So unfortunately, what
was the miracle cure for all mental health issues, mind health issues, ended up being a great addiction for many of the clients, unfortunately. I'm definitely not a Sigmund Freud.
A self-selected vulnerable population for addictions as well, probably.
So, that was a mouthful. Well done.
So we're going to start off. Everyone has been talking about we're not going to talk about it for long. The incident at the Oscars, it was trending on social media big time, and someone in my house was like, Aaron, have you seen this? Pretty much as soon as it came out. Initially, I thought Will Smith had, I thought it was, initially, right, my first thought was that it was a planned thing, a stunt. But then as it continued with more verbal abuse, I was like, no, that's real.
I heard about it when my husband came home and he said, I just heard that, what was the
Will
guy?
Will Smith.
No, not Will Smith,
Rock.
The Rock. What was the guy that the commentator?
The guy he hit was called Chris Rock.
Rock.
Did you hear it as he hit the Rock?
Yeah, my husband came home and goes, I just heard that Will hit the Rock. And I'm
Which no sane person would ever do.
No, and I was thinking, it was a publicity stunt because he wants to go through his life and go, I hit the Rock, you know, in front of everybody and got away with it. And then I saw it on TV and it was, it was really horrible, actually. I didn't enjoy watching that at all.
Right, yeah.
But for me, obviously, viewing it, you know, I'm more interested in the crowd's reaction to when something like that happens. You know, I know how people can act out in a moment of being triggered. And I don't know what was going on, obviously, in Will's life or anything. And I know that they're very rich and that they can deal with most things. So I don't imagine that there's too much. I know his wife has, hair loss. That's the word.
Did you see the look on her face?
I momentarily saw that look. Was it a look of upset or disdain? I'm not sure, but you know, the reaction of Will doing what he did was, in the moment, you know, we can never pull that moment back and we can get reactive in the moment and wish we hadn't done something that we did. It was pretty full on what he did. But I felt very sorry for Chris Rock, who's not the Rock I thought he was.
Not
the big Rock. My heart. It really did go out for him because I could see his reaction and he just went into shock. He didn't know how to pull back from that and who would. I thought he did an amazing job in a moment of just absolute chaos. But for me, the reaction of the crowd, clapping, it was very disheartening for me that not one person stood up and actually objected or walked out and just said, actually, I don't want to be a part of this. I thought it was.
So I have this. I know that everyone's there. Like the Oscars is an act. Everyone there is acting because obviously, especially if you lose, you're going to put a smile on your face and put up with it.
Yeah, it's
and
pretty.
I think they're all going in with that mindset that whatever happens, they're putting on a Hollywood show to keep the star power going and keep the whole system going. There's also the kind of the bystander. What do they call the bystander effect, where people just stand by and watch because they don't know what else to do. But I think a lot of people go into shock.
Yes, and they do.
Certainly Chris Rock did, and he was trying. You could see him trying to get his head clear again.
I felt for him, man. I really, really did. But
some people were like, "Why didn't he just walk off? Or why did he try to get back into his comedy routine?" But you don't make.
He's well trained, huh?
Well reasoned decisions at a time like that. You're just trying to react.
Well, there's no script for that.
You're not trying to react. You just are reacting.
Yeah, and there's no script. He responded in the moment to a situation that obviously wasn't prepared. But again, like I say, to me, I'm interested in the crowd's reaction. Because to me, often when we see something happen, we like to go in and support and help. That's our kind of, we want to, we don't like to see things that are, aggressive towards other people. I mean, I was thinking of the, and dare I say it, the Black Lives Matter incident of the man being choked in front of all those people and how the crowd knew something terrible was happening and they felt they couldn't respond because of the authority that was in front of them and they became fearful and they watched a man die. It's just a terrible, terrible situation for any person ever to be in, but it says a lot about our human nature and authority and how we stop ourselves from actually not falling into something that isn't good for us. We, as bystanders, we tend to not go in and help because we're afraid of the repercussions of the authorities that are there.
Well, certainly at that incident that we're talking about, there would have been a primarily Black crowd around it, and they would have known what would have happened. The same thing would have happened to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they're conditioned, aren't they, to absolutely expect that?
And of course we've got bullets and guns and, like the police are armed there. Obviously not the same situation, but I'm still interested in our reaction to that and the reaction of people. I was reading some comments around what happened and some people's comments, I thought they just didn't get the fact that actually a guy just got up and nailed somebody in front of a huge crowd and then sat down and verbally abused him. As though he was offended. Well, of course he was offended, but there's a way he could have stood up and given his offence verbally.
You see, I think he was triggered as well.
Well, he was, and he did say that, that often they have to put up with a lot of ridicule. I thought about that, Aaron. I thought, many of us put up with ridicule every day. Solo parents, people who don't have a lot of money and can't have what everyone else has, put up with the idea of ridicule every day or the idea of shame.
Yeah, I'm not trying to minimise that. I'm just looking at it and how did it happen, because it's such a surprise that it happened in a place when everyone is in agreement that they're there to put a smile on their face and look good for the public.
Yeah, and I have to question how much self-development has gone on in that kind of a crowd, because, we can be conditioned to be a certain way, so we've got to hold ourselves a certain way and behave a certain way because that's what is expected of us in our sphere of authority or whatever. But our humanness doesn't mean that we forget our humanness. And I was just surprised that not one person actually stood up and walked out, just made a stand and said, actually, no, I don't care how much money is in this room, I don't care what offers are in this room, I don't care that what I just saw was not okay by me, and I want to be able to express that by leaving. The show just carried on.
Well, isn't that the mantra? The show must go on.
The show must go on.
And they're all show people. That's what I'm saying. Like, their conditioning coming in was to put a smile on their face no matter what.
And I'm
just kind of observing. I also think in the like in a moment, your reaction is just your reaction.
Yeah, and I agree.
How many times have we been in a moment and afterwards you're going, oh, I wish I'd done this, or I wish I'd said that?
Absolutely.
There's a bit of that going on.
There would have been things that would have triggered them. They would have been in shock about what had just happened. And it would have taken them a whole lot of time to even process that. But I don't think we should skip by it so easily. I think there's a lesson for everyone to be learned in what we see when something like that goes down is how would have I responded in that situation? You know, how would I respond if I was a part of something like that? That's a good question.
Happened once where I was, it was a day, it was when I was still on the soccer club committee and we would be at the start of the year, marking up the fields and things, and there was a group of guys standing there, and one guy was making we made a really rude comment that you would describe as being a rape culture thing.
Right.
And I was like, and everyone was like, everyone's instinct is to just give a half-hearted laugh.
Yeah.
To kind of, because your instinct is to just go along with it and not cause a fuss.
Yep.
And I turned away. But my one of the thoughts of mine, because I just turned away and walked away.
Mm.
I wish I'd said more. One of the first thoughts that came into my head was, I'm here representing the soccer club and anything I say comes with that.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
But that was just a thought that came into my head at that time.
Yeah.
So I didn't say anything. I just turned away.
Yeah. I must admit,
which
probably,
was more than anyone else did. So maybe that stood out, but it would have been better if I'd said something, but I just didn't.
But I think, too, for yourself, you know you turned away. So you know within your mind that you did something to resist what was happening or what was being said. Sometimes that's enough, just our own personal reaction to something. We don't have to make it public to everybody even, but our own, because it says something about us, our character, who we are as a person. So if we are easily led, we can be easily led in a crowd where something is happening that we might not agree with, right? But because we want to be a part of the crowd, we'll go along with it. But it's the ones who can make a stand that go, actually, that's not part of our culture, or that's not who we are, or that's not something that is acceptable anymore. I'm going to turn away from that. If we all did that individually, took that responsibility, you might find that one by one, the crowd would move away because we realise that this is outside of our scope of acceptance as human beings.
Yeah. But I don't like that I kind of accept it. Like, I'm not beating myself up about it. This is what I'm saying. It just happened in the moment. The thought that came into my head was, I'm representing the club. I can't just say what I think.
Yeah.
And in actual fact, I could have.
Yeah.
But that was the first thing that went into my head, so I just walked off.
Yeah, and I would agree with you. There's many hats we wear, huh?
Yeah.
Like we are who we are, but when then we take on these responsibilities in our life and we feel that we are representing something, an organisation or whatever, and so we want to represent that well. I was just thinking of Will then. He represents as well too. He represents organisation within himself as his acting career. He didn't deal with that situation so well. We're faced with these situations every day sometimes. We have to know how we want to react to such things.
We're not faced with going into shock very often. Like only people who've been in foreign wars are the only ones with enough experience in handling shock to have a plan for it, I think.
Yeah. I was thinking, let's just go back to what you said about that sense of responsibility you felt as representing the soccer club and not wanting to perhaps do anything that was going to embarrass them, I suppose, or
cause problems for the club, I guess.
Cause problems, or that we even...
I don't really know.
No.
That was just, like, I can't say, okay, logically this would have been the problem. It's just that's just what happened.
Yeah. Well, even as a counsellor, as a Christian, I mean, I certainly find that, yes, certain situations that I would feel the responsibility of who I am and how I represent that. Yeah, I think that goes along with how we develop in life. You know, we want to take that responsibility on, that we want to represent something well. But I think when we see something in front of us that is just wrong, yeah, it's just wrong. You've got to, yeah, it comes down to our character. How are we going to respond in that situation? If our character isn't set and we're movable with the crowd, then we're likely, unfortunately, to throw the first stone. we'll stone people. That's what crowds do. You know, we get together and more energy around something, we just kind of push it forward. Yeah, so we've got to be reminded of what are our values, what's our bottom line here.
We don't know all our values, and our values might, one of our values might be don't upset things.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't cause upset. So for most of us standing there when that guy made that comment, and I'm not going to say what it was, the value of don't upset things.
Yeah, and don't cause a ruckus.
Which comes from when we're little kids and we get drummed into us not to cause a fuss.
This is very much a conditioning that we've come from, and there's a thing in us that goes, no, don't do it. But sometimes there's something stronger in us that says, yes, do it, because it matters. Like, if I close my eyes or turn away from this or don't speak out, I'm condoning it in some way. Yeah, it's not easy to go against, to be the fish swimming upstream and not downstream. It's not an easy place to be, to go against the current of what is happening. I think you have to have this already set out in your mind before you ever come into these situations.
So after that, I'm like, next time, I'll know what to say. But the next time ever came, because I don't hang out with people like that, and those guys kind of can tell that I'm not someone you'd say that in front of.
There will be another time, but it may not be the same situation. There'll be something in your life, though, that'll come along where you go...
I need it to be exactly the same, so I'm ready.
So I encourage people, you know, it is good to have scenarios in your head. What would I do? You know, what are my values here? Because if we can't live by our values, then we will shift with the tide of what's happening around us in the crowd. If our values aren't strong. So if you have a very strong value around, not being violent, and you're in a situation where you see violence and yet people are laughing, that's confusing as if in that moment you can't get an idea of what you're going to do, you'll do nothing. You'll be just a stunned mullet like most people. I would have loved to have seen somebody stand up and walk out to have an impact there.
Maybe someone didn't. Maybe the director and the cameras didn't show it.
Maybe.
I could see that reaction. Like, their job was to make it look good.
Yeah, no looking good in that. It's a real shame because I really like Will Smith. Who doesn't like Will Smith? He is funny. He's great actor.
He's a genuine guy. Like, I know we see people on talk shows and supposedly they're actors and they're acting, but you can kind of see the light in his eyes that he's genuinely enjoying the people he's with. So
yeah, and their world is so different from our world, and their perspective around how things look is so different from us, I imagine, because it's just on different levels completely. I really like Will, and I put a post up because, my first kind of thing was, you know, I'd kind of gone off him, but I'm softening a little bit over the days because I think, you know, we can't just wash someone away because of one reaction.
Yeah.
But I certainly think there needs to be a looking at self when something like this happens, you know, do we laugh? Do we find this enjoyable? Is this just a big joke to everybody and it doesn't mean anything?
People who laugh in the moment might afterwards regret that, but they're not going to say it or announce it They just want to go, they'll go quiet.
Well, there we go. And so that's why I encourage people to before these situations ever happen, and it can be any situation, obviously, but that doesn't sit in line with your values, what are you going to do? What are you going to do when you've got, you know, 100 people who are saying one thing and you're not in agreement with that, or it goes really against what you know to be your truth in right and wrong? How are you going to react? Are you going to say nothing? Are you going to... You know, it's really hard to like I say, it's really hard to be a fish that swims upstream.
We're not very good at mediating things. This is why we need people like you to mediate disagreements.
Because we get emotionally triggered, and everyone has a memory attached to the triggers that we're getting emotional about. So they're not going to be, my memories aren't going to be your memories. So whatever makes you get triggered in the moment is going to be a different memory to mine, but we're still both going to get triggered and we're going to get reactive. But they come from different perspectives, you know, so it might not have anything to do with the situation in front of us, more so to do with my own memories around being shocked like that, you know, seeing something that has put me into that kind of a stunned mullet mode.
Well, for anyone who witnessed that kind of thing as a kid, that's surely going to trigger that.
Yeah, well, I did read something about Will talking about, I think, seeing his mother being hit as a kid. And so, yeah, I don't know why he brought that up, I guess because he did the hitting. So, you know, I think maybe it was just the joke that broke the camel's back, maybe. I'm not really sure. I don't find any jokes that are putting somebody down a joke.
See, now this is something we were talking about last night. It's that thing about when you're making a joke, you punch up, not down. And normally making a joke about a famous person, like they have those roasts and things like that they do for famous people for charity. Normally, when you make a joke about a famous person, you're punching up. But I think maybe in her situation with a disease that's causing her hair to fall out, maybe that was punching down.
Oh, I agree. I don't think anything that's a direct attack on somebody's, you know, the way they look or things that they may be dealing with is any... you're exposing a vulnerability about another person. That's not funny. I personally... what's the guy's name? Chris Rock.
But it doesn't justify the reaction, of course.
Yeah, I don't find a lot of the things I've watched him in, I don't find his kind of humour humorous, but then those written scripts, aren't they? So, you know, but there's things that we laugh at that aren't exactly funny, you know. And again, I mean, I find myself doing this a lot now, you know. People, I might watch a comedy show or something and you know, I realise that what they're actually talking about, it's not funny. This isn't funny. This is offensive, and I don't like it.
There's a funny one that if you watch the Cosby show now, and it's easy to see this because of what's happened with Bill Cosby, what's been revealed, but everyone thought that was just such a great family show. And I remember watching it years later, and I was like, there's undertones here about how you treat children that I actually don't agree with anymore. But the perspective of the time when it came out, like when I was a teenager, that was perfectly fine and everyone enjoyed a laugh and it was considered, you know, it was the number one family comedy in America. And then now you look back and there,
So we believe the things we see, huh?
But the perspectives have changed on how we treat our kids.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Mine have.
I think of Bill Cosby, and I do have kind of slight memories sitting there of times of shows that I watched that made me feel uncomfortable. It's interesting. I think that instinctively, maybe some people pick things up about, but you can't. You can't believe that until you know something. You're not informed by anything. Yeah. It's just a feeling that you might have. So you might find that actually people did find, or you pick up things from back there, but wouldn't have put any value to it.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm actually relating it to his appalling behaviour, just attitude to the time.
Your conversation, things that are said, languages we use, innuendos.
A previous generation were like, children should be seen and not heard, so... it's all moved on from there. But we're like, where are we going with this conversation, Marie?
I don't know.
We were going to talk about different perspectives. We've just gone through a long period now where people have had very different perspectives about certain things that have been going on in the realm of vaccine passports. I put that thing in the Chronicle, quoting you actually a little bit, but talking about if our community and our family are important to us, we need to find a way to process this. And can we accept it? Can we just say, okay, people are diverse and some have different opinions than me, and that's just...
That would be great, wouldn't it, if we could all kind of balance out like that. Because often when we talk something out, we can talk ourselves around to a different... point of view than we might have started with, because that's what conversation does. It helps us to process. So different perspectives doesn't mean that we don't always agree. We're just seeing things differently. Your perspective around seeing a car accident happen might be a different perspective than what I saw. And that's why when they take statements off people and they, there's so many different statements that people give when they see something, because our perspective is very different on how we see it in the moment. So perspective is it's challenging because it's coming from where it's informed by what we are informed by. All right, it's might not be real information that we're actually receiving. It's by what we're seeing through our eyes and hearing through our ears, and how we're receiving that, and we have a perspective around what that looks like. But it's going to look different if I'm standing on one side of the car and you're standing on the other side of the car when the accident happens. You're going to see it very differently than me. But we both saw the same accident.
I guess we need to remind people about the thing that our brain does that filters out. Like, we get so much information, our brain couldn't process it all, so it filters a lot of it out.
Absolutely. And just takes on what matters to us in the moment. So if that doesn't have that doesn't affect you or doesn't have an impact on you, it's probably useless information. The brain's going to go with what matters to you, how your brain is wired, not how your friend's brain is wired.
So when we see... like a battle with the police, are our assumptions, our assumptions going in, our attitudes toward the police, are they going to mean that we literally see different things in a battle?
We're going to feel different things. So if I see, like when I was down Wellington, seeing the police in riot gear, straight away put fear in me. It really did. I didn't like that feeling, but actually. They weren't doing anything that was threatening. I wasn't in any danger.
Yeah.
It wasn't an issue. But in me, my feelings were, I was heightened in my fear factors, I suppose. I was like nervous. I didn't feel comfortable. But then I have experience in my younger years of quite, bad experiences of the law.
Yeah.
My later years are fine, but my earlier years weren't. And so my perspective was very much around being like, this is going to turn ugly, we're going to get attacked, I need to get out of here.
So, all right, so let's say the police are lined up against a group of people who are all feeling what you're feeling. They're all expecting an attack. Does that then increase the likelihood that the police will attack because...
No, I think...
Because you're ready for a battle now?
I'm probably the fight, flight, or freeze. If I was younger, I probably would have stood up and fought.
Because there were people there who wanted to fight.
Yes.
And so I'm...
It
raises the atmosphere?
Yeah.
Like,
well, for some, their perspective will rise up and they will fight, right? Because they have no fear there on the authority part. They may not... They may have had experience, it could have turned to more anger for them, and so their first port of call will to rise up and get angry. And so that looks like an aggressive crowd, but you just get a whole lot of people who are getting quite reactive because they're emotional about it. So if for others, like myself, I'm probably a fleer these days. I don't want to be around that kind of conflict. I want to be in resolution.
Wouldn't you be walking around trying to get everyone to calm down, though, Marie?
Just calm down. Yeah, I can see that. I'm out. I'm probably more observant these days. So I observe and I'm watchful, and I'm always trying to learn from human nature about, you know, how we respond to these situations. That's not going to change the world, unfortunately. It's just going to give me more information about people. But if we were to do it individually, it might change the world. You know, I'm going to talk about our own individual responsibility to change, to develop, to mature, I suppose, if we want to call it that. But just to develop ourselves beyond where we are. So if we have challenging perspectives around violence or hearing jokes that actually aren't funny, what are we going to do about that? If we never challenge ourselves in that, we'll just go with the tide when it happens. So when something really bad happens, if we don't have anything set in us that we know we can walk away from this, that's what I can do. I don't have to be a part of this. I can actually turn around and silently show my distaste towards this and not involve myself. If more of us took that responsibility, you might find half the crowd would turn away and have walked away from hearing whatever this guy was saying. But because we're looking towards each other for affirmation to do this, like, what are you going to do? What's everyone doing here? Like, what's the reaction? Nobody does anything. We just are waiting for somebody to do something. To give us permission.
There could have been one person who made a big show of walking out, and a whole lot of people would have followed.
There we go. There's the little fishy trying to swim upstream desperately. You know, and if nobody did anything and you walked out, would you feel that was embarrassing for you? You know, you've got to have this kind of set in your mind before you do it, because it's not embarrassing to make a stand against something that your values are being challenged in. And if your values are good, don't let something infiltrate that to water your values down. If your values say I'm against violence in any form, then just because somebody like Will Smith gets up on stage and acts out of violence doesn't mean we change our values around that.
Yeah. So back to the police standoff, people watching this from outside, some will, like you say, you feel a bit wary of the police. Other people will see the mob, and the mob will frighten them, and they'll want the police to go in hard. We're all looking at the same thing.
We're all looking for someone to fix. We are. We've conditioned ourselves, which is fine, because we need leaders, and we need governance. Obviously, it's pretty evident as human beings, we need to be governed in some way, because we can't seem to do it ourselves.
Well, no, I kind of disagree.
Good.
I think in small groups, we can.
Yes.
We do have the capacity to work on it if we've got people there who know how to work on it. We're very conditioned to authority.
Well, I'm glad you didn't agree with me, because I don't agree with me either. I only said that because in my mind, as I'm talking it out, I can see what we've talked about before, the villages in Africa when they were villages, and how you respond to situations in villages differently than we do, obviously, because we're in huge communities. We're not a little village where we can deal with situations from that perspective of living in a community, a smaller community. We're so big and diverse, it gets lost, it gets watered down.
But we are so conditioned in our culture to respond to authority. I mean, that's...
Yeah, well, from day dot.
We spend our childhood at schools in a hierarchy that you quickly pick up. You know, there's a principal, a deputy principal, assistant principal, senior teachers, admin stuff.
We would have to unlearn a whole lot of things to ever... I mean, it would take us generations, I think, to unlearn that kind of way of being, of that sense of authority, yeah, it's ingrained in us, Aaron. Yeah. Mahatma Gandhi might have gotten a little bit closer to having to living, you know, without that, you know, making I don't even know how he did it, to live in a society where we could have differing opinions and be okay with that. We're not built this way.
Yeah, we're not. We haven't been coping with that, having different opinions very well lately, but we should expect. The idea that 100% of the country would agree on any subject is absurd. It would never happen. We should. And in fact, you know, if we meet someone who is... who appears to agree with everything we say, we're suspicious.
Absolutely.
So we should expect to have different opinions.
Well, that's how we grow. If we want to have that's communism. You know, if we want to believe in just one thing and be conditioned to that's a communistic way of living.
Probably totalitarianism.
Is it? Well, there we go. It's got a name.
Which can be, communism can be done in a totalitarian way, and so can...
Yeah, say some people would feel very happy to live under that rule where everything is set out. It feels safe.
Yeah.
But obviously there's a whole lot of us who probably wouldn't feel so comfortable under that. Obviously, and there's going to be pushback because we want to grow and develop. We want to learn more about ourselves, and we can't do that if we're told every step of the way how to act and respond in our lives. It just, we become mechanical, and we're not. I want to be human.
I'm trying to work out like a theme here or a direction we're going in, and I think we're talking about. Well, I think my question would be, how do we know, how can we tell when we're triggered? Because I've also watched, you know, we've just gone through the last 2 years, people know right at the start of the COVID outbreak that the media was very sensationalistic and people were triggered by it. Mm. And probably a lot of us would say, yeah, I was triggered back then too. Now we've got a war going on with wall-to-wall reporting about a war.
Mm.
And it is, I mean, I don't want to get into the propaganda aspect of it here because it's not what this discussion is about. But I see people reacting once again. The media's leading them, triggering them and leading them into a direction. And so that there's the side that comes from the media, and then there's the side of, you know, when we're in a situation like the people who saw Will Smith in person hit someone and did nothing, and we're discussing whether they were triggered to smooth things over.
Mm.
And so how do we spot when we're triggered, Marie? That's the question for the counsellor.
There's certain responses that the body will make. Your heart will be racing. You may get sweaty palms. So it's to tune in what's happening to you. You might get very tense, feel your whole body tense up, and logic goes offline. Like you can't really think properly anymore.
That's the thing we need to understand, isn't it? If you're triggered, like into fight or flight or freeze situation, the rational brain does go offline because you're supposed to be running away from the tiger or something like that.
Which is what happened. I mean, Will Smith was triggered. His rational part. Which is pretty solid. We've seen through him, you know, who he is, that went offline and he was reactive. You know, we're not going to get this perfect. But unfortunately, what I kind of want to point out here is that, yes, he was triggered, but it took him a long time to walk from his seat to the front of that stage and do what he did. So in that time, he had time to change what he was going to do. So he was set on what he was going to do. I'm not going to move away from that. He had time. We have time to change something. You know, Aaron, we can have a perspective or a belief about something, right? And we can get so ingrained in it that when we find out that may not be the whole truth, we find difficult to change our perspective around that. And this is something that I've challenged myself in, is not to, you don't have to always believe what you've always believed. You are allowed to grow and change your perspective around something as you get more information, as you learn more, as you grow. And so people might say, oh, I thought you were this, or I thought you were that, and now you're this, you know. It's people like okay, so if I was to use myself, you know, I started out definitely don't want to get vaccinated, you know. I didn't want to be, you know, it's my body, my right. And I firmly believe
that. Yeah, I talked to you and you definitely were very firm. Yeah,
yeah, very firm, right. And then I went and got vaccinated.
Which surprised me.
Yes,
a few weeks later.
And because I because in those 2 weeks I had to grapple with this and come to something that was going to be okay with me, even though I'm not okay with this. Right, but to keep my work, to keep being able to do what I'm doing, I had to do this. So I had to come to some common ground. Then I had people coming to me. Oh, I thought you were, you know, were against vaccines, but now you're vaccinated. I said, well, I'm pro-choice. I want people to be able to choose. I don't feel I have had a choice in this. I've had to do it, but I've come to my own peace in this.
Did you feel as if there was an element of coercion that from people who thought that you were not going to get vaccinated?
Oh yeah, there was. You know, I felt there. You know, like I'd almost betrayal, I suppose, in
not
some
that
ways.
You can coerce someone after the event; it's too late. But
no, but I felt like maybe I'd let some down, or they were confused by me. You know, how can you just change now? Well, because there's a lot I'm informed around in this, and my choices have to align with my life as well. Like I didn't want to choose to lose my home, you know, out of this, which isn't much of a choice. You know, I didn't want to go down that track. You know, I kind of thought, okay, I waited up and got vaccinated because of my work. Did I want to? No. But I can change my mind around something the more I get information on how this is going to affect me or my family or going forward in my life or my work or whatever. I don't have to stick with the initial reaction I might have had or decision I had. It doesn't make me a bad person because I've now got more informed about something and choose to do it differently. It doesn't mean I've actually changed what I believe.
Did you, in your weighing things up, did you worry about what people might think?
I didn't worry about it, but I thought I might lose some friendships that were dear to me. Because when you can see both sides of something, it's hard when you're in relationship with others that can only see one point of view, right? It just becomes a battle.
So people have lost friendships.
Yeah, they have.
Like what do they do now?
I don't think it's worth it.
So can you solve this in 2 minutes, please?
I can't solve it. You know, you've got to, it's because it's so individual, and these friendships are individual people, and only you know how to work with your friend. To me, over my lifetime, I've certainly lost friends because I changed my lifestyle. I'm okay with that, Aaron. If they can't see into the core of me, who I am as a person, then that's okay if they choose not to be in my life. I'm okay with that. I'm not going to stop growing and developing because somebody wants to stand still, right, and who they are and don't want to develop any further than that. They want to keep that mentality and get stubborn. I'm not going to stop growing because of that, you know. Life is precious, and I don't want to be in a standstill situation because I'm too stubborn to grow, too stubborn to see a different perspective, too stubborn to hear a different story that's different from my own.
Yeah, all right. That's a good place for us to stop there. Sure. Folks, we've been talking to, if you tuned in halfway through, I'm talking to Marie Harworth, who's a local counsellor therapist. We talk every second Wednesday, usually, as long as nobody's got COVID or anything like that, which these days can be an issue.
After yourselves.
Thank you for coming into our In the Trees studio.
It was very
studio.
Nice. Different space to be in. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. This is the last, probably the last week I'll do it because we're all with the vaccine pass systems stopping now. So all these discussions will, maybe we'll have peace forever. Who knows? But anyway, thank you for coming in, Marie.
You're welcome, Aaron.